entertain? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast. Listening to the French Press Podcast, episode 96, March 22nd. The title is ISIS, Leighton's Last Podcast. All right, we're back again. Ruben's here.
And Leighton is too.
And Eric Troyer.
The man with the bad voice, or so he thinks, and the rest of America. But it's good to have you back to bring us the news stories, Troyer.
Yes, I have a few stories today.
All right, well,
we can look forward to that.
I am looking forward to them. It looks like you've got half the pages marked up in highlighter.
Well, some of them didn't print out right, so add
your own notes. Mm-hmm. Leighton, this is your last week here. You're probably doing a few things for the last time before you head off into the great unknown.
Yeah.
This weekend, we're leaving for Florida. The three of us, amongst a few other friends and associates.
Chosen few.
Yes. And so definitely looking forward to that, spending the last week of your non-service life before you go into service.
Yep.
What are some things that you've been doing
For the last time? I spent my last weekend here. So for the last time, I went to Warsaw. I don't know. And I went shopping with my cousin for shoes. I went to church for the last time here. I'm doing a podcast right now for the last time in here.
This could get emotional.
And I had a cough.
Tomorrow morning, breakfast. Are you going?
Yes, I'm going to go to the Dutch Kitchen.
In honor of you, I will be there.
Okay.
Really?
Yes. I'll definitely be there.
Okay.
I know I skipped the last few.
Yeah. Kyle was at the last one, but then like 10 before that, like he didn't.
Are you working this week or?
I am.
Okay.
So this will be my last work week.
When will you get your last check?
Paycheck. Technically, like, not the coming Thursday, but the Thursday after that. Because we are, like, offset when, like, you get the paycheck for the previous week.
Okay.
Every Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah. That way it's not so piled up at the bank like it is on Fridays. Because that's when most people get their checks. Mm-hmm. But
most
and we're
people
just getting
get direct
deposit.
Right when you leave.
Right when I leave, they decide, hey, you know what? It would be good if we just incorporated direct deposit. It would be too nice. And it's like, well, Leighton's leaving, so I guess we should probably do that.
Good time for a change.
That's the things I get.
Anything else for the last time that you've thought about?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. What about work? How's everything going with that?
Work is going fine. I have two stories. Do you want to hear them now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell us. Maybe tell the first one, then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back with the second one.
Okay. This is probably going to be like the shortest like segment we've ever had before a break.
Okay.
So, my first one is I'm training in a boy named Wynn. I'm turning him into
a boy named Wynn.
That
is a good name.
I'm turning him into a man.
not a winner.
From a boy to a man, okay? And I'm teaching him not just... I'm not giving just him just a fish. I'm teaching him how to fish. And by fish, I mean run a CNC plasma cutter.
Is he fresh out of the pond? And by pond, I mean high school.
No, he actually... I mean, ish. he had a side job though, working at a bakery.
Can you profile him for us?
Profiling? Like, I'm sorry, I don't do that.
Paint a picture for us.
Okay.
Height. Age.
5.
Sex.
8.
You said he was a boy.
18 years old. He's a boy. He has a beard. Obviously, it's not quite as... It's like if you would take my beard and... and I mean the actual beard that I have on my face, and I just have like a little goatee, whatever, underneath my chin. That's all I have. If you would take these individual hairs and spread them out over like the rest of like your face.
Where the rest of your beard should
be. Where the rest of your beard should be, you'd get his beard.
Okay.
Hair color.
Hair color is Schwarz, which is Dutch for black. He's been teaching me some Dutch words, so that's nice. And I'm teaching him how to do this. And all the while, I'm also teaching him how to actually not only take my spot in the job that I do, but take my spot in the social function that I function as. So,
at work or outside of work?
At work. So whenever the legally blind guy comes around, his name's JR, and his eyes are so screwed up that, like I said, he's legally blind. When it's like raining or foggy outside, he is not allowed to drive on the road. So, I mean, he can like just see good enough to function as like a normal human being. And I said, okay, now, whenever he walks past me, you always say, "Hi, JR." And I said, "Now you need to do that. All right." And you don't do it to anyone else. Like, you just when he does. And then every other day, when he always goes out to eat for lunch instead of like bringing in lunch
when?
To work. No, I'm talking about JR. And whenever you see him, whatever, with a bag, with a like a takeout bag or like a drink, whatever, and you like see that he obviously went through a drive-thru at a fast food restaurant somewhere in Appanee, say, "Hey, JR, did you bring me some Burger King?" Every time. And I don't even like Burger King.
Do you do this?
I do.
And you always mention Burger King?
Yeah.
Why Burger King?
I don't know, because I know he won't do it. I know he's not going to do it.
Yeah, I know, but why not like Taco Bell or McDonald's or Arby's?
I don't know.
Burger King.
Burger King.
You always say Burger King.
I do say Burger King every time. Yeah. This guy's actually a pastor at the church that's right across the street from the post office in town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right now they have that motto that's like, or it's like a little saying that says, "What's meeting in what letters? What is missing in the word church?" And it's like just ch space ch.
Ah, I get it. That's good.
You are. You get it.
I get it.
And like they have like little witty sayings on that sign all the time. Another one was, God gives you the gift of salvation, some assembly required.
Does he come up with these or is it...
No, I think they go online and just,
oh, okay.
Maybe like funny tweets or something. Yeah. I don't know. But anyways, just like little things like that to take my spot. And I said, you also have to razz your boss, Leon, your Amish boss, Leon, because I do that. But mostly it's just like little verbal jousts or whatever. This particular time, though, this past week, I have been letting him just run the plasma by himself the whole time, and I'm just kind of...
Gives you a chance to kind of sit back and catch up on all the other things you got to do.
Exactly. And so, he told me, yeah, the other day, his boss, Leon, was bending over, welding something or doing something, and he took a glass of water and, like, dumped it down his pants, the back of his pants. And I was like, "Yeah, I'm so proud of you."
Now, would you ever go to that length?
No. I said...
So he's exceeding even what you've been doing.
He's going beyond, above and beyond the social status. And I just... a single tear came out of my eye. And I said, "Win, I'm so proud of you." And he said, "I know. The student is becoming the master." And I was just like, at that moment, I was like, I am leaving my position in good hands.
Was there any fallout with Wynn dumping the water down Leon's pant leg?
No, because Wynn is new enough that, like, Leon's like, oh, yeah, we need him to run the plasma. But after, like, he grades on Leon's nerves long enough, Leon will learn to, like, get back at him and, like, yeah, threaten him properly. Like he would me.
Yeah, so. I was watching a YouTube video where it was like just a small office building.
Right.
And pranksters. Some people went and set up tape, clear white, like shipping tape across the doorway. And then their boss like walked into it. And then they set it up one time where you see him walk into it like, ah, get angry and rip it off his face. And then the next scene you see him walk over to that same door. And the tape, so he's like, ha, ah, you won't fool me this time. He grabs it, rips it down, and keeps on walking. And there's another piece of tape, like, in the next doorway or hallway. And then they get him with that.
Nice.
It just made me sad that I don't have the opportunity. Do you guys ever do pranks like that or to that extent?
Jeff wrote gay on the stool of, like the seat that I sit on at the plasma table. I have, like, this little, like, step stool, whatever, yeah, that I sit on.
Yeah.
And it has like a yellow painted plate on it.
Okay.
And so he took yellow paint that is very close to the color of what the plate is colored. and so when you put it on there, when you put yellow paint on there, you can barely see it.
Yeah.
And so he wrote gay onto the plate
that you'd be sitting on,
hoping that I would sit on it and then I would have gay on my butt.
Did he go as far as to write it backwards so that you could see it?
No, he didn't. Okay. He wrote it the proper way, and it ended up I somehow sat on the corner of it, so I just had a Y on my butt. He was disappointed.
Did it?
But little stuff like that. One time they took Leon, who's Amish, he bikes to work. They took his bike and hung it up with the hoist, and they took it all the way up, and it was just hanging from the hoist for a while until, like, it was time to go, and then he got angry. So that was – I wasn't there for that. That was before my time.
Troyer, do you guys – you work with some guys. Do you ever prank each other?
I actually can't think of any. No, there's
– you work directly with the owner, so it'd probably be a little bit touchy if you actually want to prank the owner.
That could get weird.
I don't see Leonard as the kind of guy that messes around.
You have any comments?
No, we have a lot of fun, but I can't think. We definitely don't do a lot of pranks.
No dilly dallying.
Yeah, no tomfoolery.
Yeah, it's just like more like mechanical jargon. Like, oh man, I think there's something wrong with that guy's carburetor, if you know what I mean.
Speaking of vehicles and autos, I know you're finished with your first story,
yeah,
right? Okay, so Eric, just before we go into the break into your second story, Eric Troyer here is pushing for mandatory vehicle inspections.
Really? Yeah,
I would definitely recommend it, yes. Because, and it's not...
So you get more work.
No, that has nothing to do with it. It's a safety issue.
So we're safer.
Yeah.
Why do you care if we're safe?
So you don't have a problem with your family being out there on a road next to a vehicle where a tie rod could snap off and they could, you know, crash into your vehicle.
Nope. Has that happened?
Yes. All the time.
All the time.
It happens all the time.
No, but there are a lot of, I mean, because there are no inspections of any kind here in Indiana, at least a lot of the counties.
It's true.
And a lot
of Pennsylvania, they do require.
Are rusted out. I wouldn't want emissions inspections, but I believe to renew your plates every year, you should have to have a safety inspection performed.
If you could show me that it's an actual issue where there's accidents caused because of it, then I would definitely agree with you.
Yeah, are majority of accidents preventable by having maintenance?
Well, definitely not the majority.
No, I mean the vast majority is human error.
Even if like one in five would be because of this, I would say, wow, that's a big number.
Yeah, I'll look up some statistics, okay, because they always investigate accidents, mm-hmm, see what happens. So we'll get some stats. But here, if we'd have mountains and stuff like that, it'd definitely
that
be
true.
A,
it would
a
be
bigger,
bigger
safety. Yeah. But there is a huge safety issue for the heavy trucks and
I would say
DOT trucks. Those get inspected, what, every happier. Yeah, to
you. Every time you go out, aren't you supposed to, like, the driver is supposed to inspect
his truck.
Yeah,
but not to the level of what Eric would do, surely.
No.
No, yeah, I mean, they're visual inspection to walk around. But, yeah, every year a DOT inspection needs to be done on a company truck. But there's a lot of farm trucks that that don't need to be inspected.
Those farmers, they do get away with anything.
I would be okay with, like, having a mandatory inspection if the government agreed, like, they'll pay for it.
So you just want another government program?
Well, I'm just saying, if you're going to make me go through with this, at least pay for it, then I don't have to pay more on my car. I already paid taxes on it when I bought it.
Sales tax?
Yeah. No, think about it. Every time a car exchanges hands, whatever, every time a car is sold, that car's value, the value of that car, the sales tax on the value of the car is paid again.
I don't understand why that is. Because no other – if I sell this computer, mm-hmm. this is my used computer, I don't have to charge sales tax
exactly.
for it. I don't know why autos – do you know, Eric, why do you need to do that with autos?
I don't know. So they can
obviously make
repair
more,
the roads,
money,
I guess. But Marshall County doesn't do that anyway,
it's like
so
expensive
I'm not sure
enough.
Why they need
– Yeah, speaking of that, how many vehicles have you had to repair because of the roads?
We had one –
we need inspections on our roads, vehicles.
I know. Marshall, I know of two vehicles in the last week that have broken down simply because of the road conditions in Marshall County. It is horrible.
It is bad.
We need to start like a public revolt and a shaming of the people in charge of the county.
I see.
Marshall County is the worst county in Indiana. Haiti has better roads than Marshall County.
I've been to Haiti. They're not as bad. Haiti's is worse.
Yeah, but have you been down 8th Road recently?
I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't been down 8th Road.
It's like, oh, man, this road reminds me of the time I was down in Haiti many years ago.
I feel like I'm in a third world country every time I drive home from work. It's pretty
bad. It is bad. The other roads I've been on in Marshall County. All right, let's take our break, and then when we come back, Leighton will share part two of this. We're back from our break. Eric is on mute. Button is on him for a little bit because he keeps on interrupting us. But we do have the news to get to, and then also Leighton, part two of your story, and then maybe if we have time, just kind of an interesting series of events that happened at Wings Etc. Friday night, watching the basketball tournament, which I guess I should take time right now to mention that Notre Dame is in the Sweet 16.
Nuh-uh.
Yes. Unmute on Eric. You can speak if you want
to. Okay, very good. My light is on again.
That's amazing. This is the first time I remember them being in the Sweet 16, Notre Dame basketball.
Mine too.
I am excited.
This is the first time I remember them being in the Sweet 16.
Have they ever been there before?
I know
maybe
they made it to the Final
the
Four.
40s or something?
It's been a while. I don't know how long. But anyway, Leighton, you're part two of your story from work.
Okay, so part two goes like this. I'm training Wynn, as you know. He's taking my spot. Now, it's funny that Wynn, in particular, is taking my spot. Because about, I want to say a month ago, after running the plasma for, at that time, about 10 and a half months, somewhere in there, 10 months, mm-hmm. I find out that Paul hears me.
The founder of Paul's Welding.
Yes, he hears me from his office. And I do this thing, the exact same thing that what my dad used to do at the trailer factory. And even now as he paints.
Yodel?
He whistles.
Okay.
He whistles while he works. And I whistle while I work. And unbeknownst to me, after 10 months of running this plasma table, and every day I whistle to myself just for a tune.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Is it a tune then? Is it a recognizable tune or something that's made up in your mind?
It is a recognizable tune to me.
But
it's not
that
a tune.
Anyone else would recognize.
Exactly. And it's not the same one. I change it from day to day. Mm-hmm. But I get tunes stuck in my head, and then I whistle them all the day long. And Paul Miller, he confronts me finally after 10 months. He's like, you know, when you go home tonight, I want you to go on to the unfamiliar parts of your music library and listen to those so that you come in with a different tune tomorrow.
So he's complaining that it's always the same.
It's, well, yeah, I guess. Yes. And I, this whole time, I had no idea that he even heard my whistling.
Could he hear you as the door from his office and the shop part opened, or through the wall?
He can hear me through the wall, like, through the vents. And what's funny is that Darren, who is one office further than Paul's is, can also hear it. He can also hear my whistling.
Which, okay, this needs to be said. Before we started recording, you were being irritating. And I asked, how has no one killed you? And again, I need to ask, how has no one killed you at Paul's Welding?
The on the podcast is the same as at my job, Ruben. They can't kill me. They want to kill me, but they can't because they need me too much. I'm I still serve a function there. They need me, thus they can't.
Okay.
Maybe as I leave for 15 months, I should sleep with one eye open just to make sure that a Miller doesn't come barging through my door one night while I'm at Hillcrest. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is,
why didn't they confront you about it before?
I don't know, this whole time. Now, that hasn't stopped me since then. That hasn't stopped me from whistling. I whistle every day. Especially now, more than ever.
Can you give us like a demonstration? What might you be whistling? So kind of like an anthem.
Yeah, just it's more of like a chant than like a tune.
Do you ever use words instead?
No, sometimes. Like actually in that voice too. Lately I've been on this binge of Christmas songs. So I'll just joy to the world, and just like and then stop for like I don't know a minute. And then just do that same phrase over again.
Please tell me if this isn't true as well, but doesn't
what?
One of your other bosses sing like one line of a verse of a like a Christian song, like it's PH. He sings like a phrase in a song and then like nothing else.
No.
Yes. I've never heard him. Yeah. It was not Our God is an Awesome God. Blessed be your name.
Okay.
He doesn't ever just say that, the phrase. All right. That's one of the myths around Paul's Welding.
Kyle does that. He'll like, except he like usually does it like with just some random pop song, whatever that's big on the radio at the time. Like he'll just like, I don't know. I whip my hair back and forth. That's it. He whips his beard back and
forth.
Yeah,
did you see the video he made?
Yeah.
That was disturbing.
I didn't know it could do that.
I saw it.
I did not know. We need to post that to French Press.
The tongue is what was really...
unsettling.
Unsettling. Yeah.
Anyways, we're not even to like the good part yet.
Oh, good.
Paul, after receiving the news that I'm going to Hillcrest... said that he was like so like relieved, like, oh yes, the whistling will stop.
He could have just fired you.
I know. But like I said, too valuable. It's the same reason he can't kill me. Too valuable. And what's funny is that there are I want to say maybe four guys that work in the shop that whistle. There's me, there's Dylan, there's...
Do you ever do the Mockingjay where you kind of keep track of each other, like where you guys are at?
Oh, yeah. We have certain calls. Win is...
Okay.
Can you do the...
And Dylan is... No, that's not his call.
What is his?
We don't call him. We know where he's at
okay.
all the time.
Does anyone do the Hunger Games? one?
Actually, I do that from time to time.
Is there a response?
Yeah, like whenever we talk about Jaren, who I took the spot of, he went off into service. And so whenever it says like, oh, yeah, Leighton took Jaren's spot. And if Jaren were here, he would have never done what Leighton did. And then I go. It's just like in
what remembrance. What are they talking about? What you have done?
Well, like sometimes, like
just some
a guy,
stupid thing.
No, like I'll cut some parts for a job, and then whatever. Like when we finally get around to actually working on that job, because obviously they're gonna want the parts before we start on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then when a guy is finally assigned to like, okay, you're gonna start on this job, the guy comes over to me and says, "Oh, where are my parts?" And then I was like, "Oh yeah, I got those parts right over here." And then he's like, "Oh, they're not sanded up. Jaren would have done that."
Leighton.
And then he would have done it, and then he would have said, "Thank you for the opportunity to sand your parts."
And then I go. At which point. Beautiful.
Anyways. And one of the, I said there were like four guys that whistle.
Mm-hmm.
Me, Dylan. I don't know who the other guy is. And then there's Wynn.
Wynn. So he truly is following in your footsteps and all the small details that you're laying on to him.
Yeah, exactly. And he whistled way before. Like, he is a known to be whistler.
Well, he comes from a musical family, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what's funny is Paul, who says, you know, I was so relieved to hear that you're, like, going going into service. The whistling will stop. And then when I found out that they're getting Wynn to take your spot, I was, oh.
So Wynn has worked there before he's taking your place?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We hired him, like, a month and a half ago.
Is it Wynn Hostetler?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's doing a great job.
Good.
He whistles and everything.
Good. That is funny.
Yep.
Is that the end of the
affair? That's that.
All right. With that being said, I think it's time to get on to the news.
Ooh, all right.
And the music for the news.
Actually, it's not even queued up. I didn't know we were going to do that.
Oh,
right
sorry.
Away.
I should have given you more of a warning. But
we'll edit the
No, it's fine. We're just going to
this is how we're learning.
Yeah. Eric, I'm not sure.
You know, even the Blaze, they sometimes have issues like this
they
as
do,
well.
Yes. It's very common. It's very common.
Internet's down again.
And
there we go, in the news with Eric Troyer.
Why? I thought it was the first clip I had was longer.
You just like, paused it.
No. Would it go into the next YouTube video if you keep let it play?
No, I don't think it's on autoplay. But anyway, don't worry, people. We'll perfect the process. It's a learning process.
This is one of the things that's gonna be taken care of in Florida, by the way.
Yeah.
Getting the sound effects
iron
right.
Iron out the details. So.
Yeah.
We have some giant wrinkles.
By the way, the next podcast will be recorded from Florida, the Sunshine State.
So we can look.
So there's
yeah,
that, forward
yep.
to that forward to.
All right. So here's what's happening, or did happen, or possibly will happen. I have a few stories here. The first one is from the NewScientist.com, and it says that Google wants to rank websites based on facts and not links.
Ooh.
This is a February 28th story by Hal Hodson.
And let me just say, when they talk about instead of from links, because you know what that
can
is.
I get to the story?
Oh, okay. Well, if this is a story, I thought I'd just add some background.
Ooh. Okay. Now, Google's search engine currently uses the number of incoming links to a web page as a proxy for quality determining where it appears in search results.
Which basically means...
Yeah, now interpret that for us, really.
That... We have the French Press podcast.
Yeah.
We don't rank very well. If someone types in the best podcast in the world, we're probably not going to show up.
Really?
Well, not right now. We won't show up on the first page. However, if we would have hundreds of thousands of people from Facebook and Twitter, Google+, or other blogs linking to our website or posts from the website, we would link very high. If someone would be typing in funny podcast or podcast in Indiana, that kind of thing. That's what an incoming backlink is.
Okay, so yeah, it says, so pages that many other sites link to are ranked higher. This system has brought us the search engine as we know it today. But the downside is that websites full of misinformation can rise up the rankings if enough people link to them. A Google,
so for example, okay, go ahead.
The next paragraph, a Google research team is adapting that model to measure the trustworthiness of a page rather than its reputation across the web. Instead of counting incoming links, the system, which is not yet live, counts the number of incorrect facts within a page.
So what is that incorrect facts?
Now, that's the scary part. Like, who's going to determine what a fact is?
What about climate change and global warming?
Yeah, and it says they use a software known as the Knowledge Vault, that the vast store of facts that Google has pulled off the internet, facts that the web unanimously agrees on, are considered a reasonable proxy for truth.
So what are they going to unanimously agree on? Because
a lot of stuff...
What if I'm searching for the truth about climate change?
Right. Exactly. No, that is what... Yeah, the scary part of this story is people can determine what a fact is, and if something is deemed not a fact, it won't show up, or they can filter the information that you're getting.
And even to the point where maybe it's something that we all assume is true. So back...
I mean, the Earth is clearly flat.
Back when people thought the Earth was clearly flat, if there was an internet...
Can you imagine they couldn't search for a round Earth?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but there could be something like that. There could be something like that today. I mean, there is something like
that
today.
Right, exactly. There is.
We all assume it's true, but eventually we'll find out that it's not true.
Yes.
Oh, we don't revolve around... Or the sun doesn't revolve around us. That's strange.
Doesn't it? It goes around.
Which way is it? No. Okay. So that is, something
so
we can...
So is there any kind of idea how soon that will be made live?
Don't you have that highlighted?
It doesn't say, how soon they're trying to get it up and running.
What's funny is, though, like, you think, oh, well, I'm not sure this website is true. Then you just go on to Google and Google, like, about that fact. And it's like, oh, well, Google gets its link, gets its information from, like, fact websites.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, you can't trust Google because Google is saying that we're just going to go by what the majority says.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
Okay, the next story is sort of a little bit more gruesome. This is actually a local story from Gary, Indiana.
Oh, good.
And
how did you find this story?
It was emailed to me.
Who's
by
Gary?
A member of the staff. So, police say the remains of two babies have been found in a ceiling at an Indiana funeral home.
The remains?
Yeah. What did I say?
I was just making sure I heard right.
Yeah, the remains of two babies. Gary police and the Lake County coroner removed the bodies of a stillborn and a newborn from Smith, Bizzle, and Warner funeral home. Investigators said the bodies appeared to be mummified. One had a tag indicating the baby was delivered March 3rd, 1996.
they just found it now.
Yeah, this was from
March 96.
5th. Yeah.
Wow. It's like 20 years ago.
Yeah, and a criminal investigation has been opened. But supposedly it's from the previous owners. I guess the funeral home was sold or something, but it's kind of a gross story.
How did the babies get there?
That's what they're investigating. It
was a funeral home before, like back in 96?
Yes.
And mummified. Correct me here. Is mummified, is that a process, or does someone appear to be mummified just from possibly being in a ceiling?
I thought that was like a process, like that the Egyptians did on like their pharaohs.
Yeah, it doesn't give a description. I don't know if it's just because of how they're preserved, or if someone actually did something weird to them. Yeah, it doesn't say.
Wow. I'm sorry, but this was a bad news choice. Why would you include this?
Eric, you're supposed to curate the news
for us. No, wait. But he said it was given by one of our
news guys.
By our staff.
It was not my first
choice. I'll check here.
I'll check with Kevin.
It wasn't my
first
choice.
I'll check with Kevin.
The next story is much more...
Lighthearted
and funny. Okay, so here I'll read the headline here. Well, it's kind of a weird title. I didn't know. Okay, he got a tattoo in honor of his girlfriend 4 years ago. She's now an ex, but the name still stamped on the inside of his mouth may have cost him his job. Now, do you guys want to guess what the name of his ex-girlfriend was?
The name of his ex-girlfriend. So it's actually her name.
Yeah. On the inside of his mouth, like on his bottom lip. And it may, it, it,
Macy.
It says may have cost him his job. He did get fired, but they're not saying that was the reason.
Okay. Macy?
Why Macy?
Because maybe the job was at Macy's, and for some reason they thought it was weird.
Oh, okay, wait.
It was a business that has the same name as his girlfriend. His brother.
No, it could be like he got Macy's on his lip, but he works at JCPenney.
There you go. Was his girlfriend's name Penny?
No, that is both incorrect. This guy's name is Kirk Sarkozy. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but
all
right.
I'm sure he won't care if he listens to the podcast.
Okay, now it says, while Sarkozy's girlfriend is now an ex, his tattoo of her name is alive and well in his mouth, and it may have cost the mastic New York man his job. The tattoo in capital letters reads ISIS.
Oh, my goodness. Her name is ISIS?
Yeah. What kind of a girl is that? ISIS.
A girl with a big beard.
No, do you ever think that's ISIS?
ISIS. ISIS, lip dog.
ISIS, huh? I didn't know that was a name.
So he showed his tattoo to a coworker at Home Depot, and he soon got the bad news, don't return.
He was working at Home Depot?
Yeah.
I wonder, you can get tattoos removed. Can you get them removed if they're in your mouth?
Oh, I wouldn't recommend it.
But he told the news station that he's not a terrorist and is considering a lawsuit.
Oh my.
Which I think he should get fired just for getting a tattoo on the inside of your mouth.
Why does he have to show it to anybody else's coworker? Just go to the other Home Depot and just don't show him your lip.
Yeah. Because I don't think you would see it just when he talks normally.
Because the picture there, it looks like you almost had to pull it down.
Yeah, it's on the inside.
I don't think, though, that he should have gotten fired for it.
I don't either. I would just tell him.
Because, like, how is he supposed to know?
Don't show people your lip.
I mean, right. Don't show people your lip. It'd be one thing if he had ISIS on his forehead where, like, the customers that he's helping are going to see it.
Right.
Like, the whole time.
I would at least do some research. If it is a true story, then, yeah, he probably shouldn't get
that. Hold on. Is there any way he could add to the tattoo to make it say something else?
Yes, that's an excellent idea.
Crisis.
Yes, we should come up with the best cover-ups for this.
Crisis.
Is that how you spell crisis? Is there an E in there somewhere?
I think it's just CR.
Crises. Yeah.
But that'd be an excellent idea. He should come up with words that would, he could change an I to something else or an S to an A.
Change it to ISIL.
Yeah.
Crowdfund this.
Oh, shoot. Missed that one, too.
So do you guys know what ISIS stands for, the actual?
No.
I can make a guess at it. Islamic State. That's all I've got.
Yeah, Islamic State of Iraq and Syria.
Okay.
Or the Islamic State, but yeah. And I'm still confused about ISIS and ISIL. And they use it in the same report. They say ISIS did this, and then they're not sure if ISIL is... It's like...
I don't know the difference either.
Yeah. They should just pick one, because it's...
They're confusing. They're propaganda.
I'm sure there's a difference, but we all, it's close enough.
I know there is a difference, but we need to be educated or do the research ourselves.
We should pick whichever one they don't like. Whichever one offends the terrorists the most.
Well, I think it is two different, specifically talking about two different people or groups.
I don't know.
I think. We could look it up. Sounds like Layton is typing away right
now.
While you're typing, let's just talk a little bit about what happened.
It stands for
Friday night. Go ahead.
An island or peninsula, especially a small one.
That doesn't sound very threatening.
And it's not pronounced ISIL. It's pronounced Isle. I don't understand.
Anyway, so we Eric and I and two of our other friends are at Wings Etc. Just watching the game, trying to watch the game. Although the setup, at least the Wings Etc. in Elkhart, is so horrible.
Yeah, and there wasn't
only about half the people can actually see a TV.
It wasn't really a game we cared about either. We were just casually watching the tournament.
It was true. It was. Valparaiso was playing Maryland, which they're an Indiana team. Our Valparaiso, which is surprising. I didn't actually know they had a college.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But they made the tournament and they lost. But then, anyway, so we're just sitting there minding our own business, eating and watching the game halfway-ish and arguing about going to college. When all of a sudden this lady walks up to us, and she is a little bit... what's the right word?
That's close description. No.
Close.
She
wasn't drunk, but she was a little bit tipsy.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell. It may have.
Huh?
It may have been other drugs. No. But yeah, I know what you mean. She was a little loopy.
Loopy. That's a good way.
Energetic.
She comes over smiling really weirdly and asks, do any of you guys have a quarter? And in a voice similar to that, and in really like a child is asking if they can go with their dad to work or something, like the puppy dog eyes like that, asking for a quarter, which none of us had a quarter. And we told her, each went around the table, actually asked us if we have a quarter. We said, sorry, we don't. And then I just get her rid of us as she was snuggling up to one of the guys, kind of really getting closer and closer to him. In fact, he's the guy, one of our friends that I'm talking about, said if she would have twitched, she would have been pretty much right on his lap.
Wow.
Close to that. And then I said, you know what? I've got a dollar. Go get change. Which she – what did she say then?
I forget. She didn't – she definitely wanted the dollar because she wanted a gumball. Did you mention that? That's why
I didn't. She wanted the quarter
yeah,
for a gumball.
For a gumball.
Yeah, it's not that interesting.
No, but her behavior is what made it interesting. Like, it's difficult to describe her behavior.
But she was coming on to us.
But she did accept the dollar.
The dollar. And, in fact, she gave the change back, which I did not insist on. That's all.
Did you ask her for her number?
I did not, and she did not offer it.
The funny thing is, I'm pretty sure she had a ring on her finger. Because I saw her left hand, and she had a wedding ring.
She was with her girlfriends at another table.
Was she?
Yes.
Oh.
Layton.
What?
I know how to make this interesting now. How would you make that story interesting? Because you can make a rainbow out of a puddle of mud. So how would you make that story interesting?
Well, you have to it's all about embellishing. But to the point where everybody knows that you have embellished it.
Okay.
So what you would say is, like, you give, like, the details in, like, very – the details. Like, describe how you whipped out the dollar. So I whipped out my leather wallet, and I whipped it open, and I slipped out the dollar. I kind of rubbed it through my fingers, and I actually, like – kind of this thing where I did some quick origami in order to impress her, made into a swan, and it says, only a beautiful dollar is worthy of a beautiful woman such as yourself.
Except that she was not beautiful.
Oh.
Does that matter?
What you should have done is taken the dollar, like, crumpled it up and made it all wrinkly, and then he goes like, only a disgusting dollar that I spat on is worthy of a woman such as yourself. That's terrible.
That's so all right, mean. So embellishment to the point where it's obviously...
It's obvious.
Okay.
So we have to remember this because it'll be difficult when he's gone.
It will be. Your talents are not overrated. They're hard to come by, which is, like you said, why people haven't killed you.
Yeah, I'm needed.
All right. That's all... For that, I did read a book. It's called Lead for God's Sake.
Okay.
It's written by a local guy. He's out of Wakarusu.
What's his name? Or are we not on liberty to say that?
Yeah, you can say his name. I just forget what it is.
Oh, I think I know what it is right here.
But
ISIL.
We'll have a link. We'll have a link on the French press, and if you buy it through our link, we'll actually get a little bit of a kickback. So you can buy it for an audiobook at audiobooks.com. Or you can also buy it from Amazon. Both links will be on the website. So go there. If you do want to buy it, click through those links for sure. And what it's about, it's a fictional story. It's written by a Christian guy, and it has a Christian point to it. But I like that it is a fictional story, and it doesn't sound preachy or put the point at the forefront. It lets the story
make the point.
Yes.
Sweet.
And it's about this high school basketball coach in Kentucky. He's the winningest coach in Kentucky history. But this year, it's the beginning of the new season. This year, his team is losing. They're like 3-3, and he's not sure what the problem is. And then it's also about his friend, who's a business guy, started a company, I think, and then they went public. and they were huge, huge business, making millions of dollars. But then they're also really struggling right around this same time. And so it's those two guys are the basketball coach is the main character in the story, but there's some other there's a couple different subplots going on in the background as well. So definitely, I actually read it in one sitting, and it took me 6 hours to read. So it kept me captivated. Other people who have read it and loved it are Urban Meyer, the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, including a lot of.
Is that an endorsement?
Well,
so wait. You're saying that the head coach, he's the head coach?
Yeah, football coach.
Of Ohio State, read a book written by a Christian guy that lives in Wakarusa.
Yeah.
That's pretty hot.
And the story was written, I think back in like 2007, 2008, somewhere around there. But okay. It's only really caught fire in the last couple of years. Mm. But to the point where Urban Meyer has done videos with the writer to help him endorse the book.
Cool.
And maybe even turn it into a major motion picture.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Not bad.
So, and the I guess I'll tell you what it's about.
Okay.
Is
don't give everything away.
Well,
are there going to be spoilers in it?
No. I feel like you've already teased it enough. Like
okay,
you've already.
Okay. I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
But this will help you if you're in
turmoil.
It is probably primarily for people aspiring to become leaders, in which everybody should be a leader in their own way.
Right.
Whether you're going to service, you work in a mechanic shop, you help out at a Boys and Girls Club, whatever you do, everybody is in a position to lead because leading at its core is influence. And we
Amen.
All influence each other. So definitely pick that up. Lead for God's sake. And I don't know the author's name, but like I said, links will be over at the French Press Podcast website. You can also leave us your input via email. Mail at FrenchPressPodcast.com, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, all the normal stuff. Leighton, this is your last time in your basement.
Yeah.
With us.
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to doing this while you are over in Arkansas. But we will be connected through the internet.
Through the internet.
And you will still be here in voice.
Through the internet, we can be internet.
Yes.
All right. Bye.